Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This is the Dale and Keith Show.
I'm not a very superstitious guy, which is odd in hockey.
I'm not superstitious.
People say, well, your routine makes you superstitious because you do the same thing every so does it. But I don't.
But I am a little stitious.
Dale Arnold.
Cassidy can only lose this by not being Cassidy.
Who is Bradford?
Rich Keefe.
Like a bad sandwich. If you make a sandwich and all your ingredients are great, but your tomato's a little soggy, you can live with it.
What now?
Dale and Keefe. Middays.
I just told Butchie I want a day off. I had enough of practicing, so I'm good. I've been trying to get a practice every day this week.
On the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
That kid's my hype video, by the way.
You like that?
That's my hype video.
Okay, all right.
I mean, we had the Brady hype video?
We did.
Whatever just came out?
Yeah.
That's not a hype video. That kid should be the hype video. Like, we should want to be us against the world, right?
I like that mentality, us against the world. But I feel like it's us against the world right now because the sun is shining and they trusted me in here to do this show while the sun is shining. Usually, you know, it's a smaller audience. I'm in here late night doing my thing. And if I say something idiotic or if I stumble over a word, chances are very few people heard it. And I've got this great deal with whoever produces the show that they'll cut it out. It doesn't make the website
the
next day.
They cut it out and then give it to the morning show.
I know.
That's how it works.
It sucks. It absolutely sucks. It is
right?
Sports Radio. WEI, it's Patrick Gilroy alongside Rob Bradford today, filling in for, I don't know, for Dale Arnold and Rich Keefe. Is that what this show really is right now?
Yeah, right now it is. And then we morph into OMF because it goes till 3. Although, since I refuse to represent OMF, I'm leaving it too.
Oh, you're taking a stand today.
Well, Matt Kalman is coming in at 1. That might have something to do with it as well, which is he is the guy. He is the straw that stirs the drink when it comes to getting us ready for the Stanley Cup final. I said finals on the website. I think someone changed it to final. Which is it, finals or final?
I mean, I would think it's the finals. You know what I mean?
It's but final.
Why, though?
Why
is it the NBA
hockey thing?
Why?
I don't know. Dale told me it was final, and I would assume Dale would
but
know
that's
these
a,
things.
That, I think it's a hockey thing, though.
Yeah, I think it's just like it's the Stanley Cup final because it's the final series.
But you could make the same argument in the NBA, and it's clearly finals.
Finals.
It's the same word. It's the same seven-game series used in the same context. So how does that work?
I don't know. Lord Stanley Dean. It so I just kind of follow
hockey,
along.
Hockey is the whole. I went up to the Toronto for the. I went to the Hockey Hall of Fame. You ever been there?
No.
Which Hall of Fames have you been to?
Just basketball.
That's it.
That's it.
You haven't been to the Baseball Hall of Fame?
I have not been to.
What's wrong with you? but basketball is a good one. I think basketball because you have the interactive stuff and whatever
you can play.
Yeah, the hockey one's like in a mall. It's in a food court. And you can you just save the puck and shoot the puck and it's lame. It's lame.
Are you joking, by the way? Is it really in a mall?
Yeah, man. It's like so you walk by it and it's this big old building. It's basically a bank as it turns out. But you're like, oh, this is cool. It's right downtown. It's a big building, old building. You're gonna go in, it's gonna be 5 floors of artifacts and then you have to go through sort of a business mall type area and then go down an escalator and then go through a food court. They said literally said take a right at the Starbucks and there you go. You have the Hockey Hall of Fame. And it, you know, it's like gift shop / Hockey Hall of Fame. And my point was when I went there, I wanted to get some people crap talking the Bruins because people in Toronto hate the Bruins.
Sure.
Right? But they're too nice. First of all, the people in the Hall of Fame, they said, you know, you can't take video of anything. You can't. Nobody was going to talk about the Bruins because everybody, like I saw Brad Marchand's shirt in the gift shop. And I said, how many of those you sell? Probably 0. Oh, no. We sell a lot. No, you don't. Everyone hates Brad Marchand, especially in the Bruins uniform. Everyone hates the Bruins. But I got that kid at least outside the Hockey Hall of Fame and he's saying Bruins suck.
And that's your hype video right there.
That's my hype video, man. Like, isn't that the case? I know that, listen, the Brady thing is good. right? The Brady hype video
sure.
they play earlier, which we can play on a loop for about an hour and everyone would get jacked up. But I've said this for the last 3 days, Patrick, is that we need some animosity. You're a Celtics guy. You grew up when I grew up, the BLA.
Yep.
Like that's part of it. And that's L.A. where people don't care about anything.
But here's a bigger sort of philosophical question that I've been struggling with since Friday. So Friday, you know, Curtis texts me and says, can you do the show? I said, sure. I'd love to do the show. So I pay attention. I listen over the weekend, listening to both stations. The Bruins are literally starting the final tonight. And I feel like it's the only sport where it doesn't completely dominate the airwaves. Let's face it. You know, there's been more Kyrie talk in the last 48 hours here, and they're 6 weeks away from free agency than there's been Bruins talk. And I don't really get it. I mean, I'm a sports radio guy. I know that hockey hasn't always resonated with the audience, but you would think if there was one time where it would absolutely dominate, this would be the time. And it's not happening. I don't quite understand why.
Number one, we've run out of things to say. And that would be the case anytime you have a week and a half before between series. And you run out of things to say. We can only bring in Wiggy so many times to say Chara sucks, right? So you have that. We tried to surface Cassidy, and he's not like when they played Vancouver last time, Claude Julien was a big topic.
Sure.
There were topics. What do we have? And this is part of the problem. Like I'm talking about, why aren't we talking? There's no villain on St. Louis. The St. Louis people aren't pushing back at all. All we have this kid, and that kid I'm talking about outside the Hockey Hall of Fame that said Bruins suck, he was from New York.
Bruins, you suck!
Yeah, he's a plant. He's not even from St. Louis or Toronto. So I think that's your answer. And because people like controversy. You have to have the storyline. You have to have the controversy.
Right.
Kyrie is controversial.
The
Celtics are controversial.
Well, a lot of that has to do with the fact that they underachieved. They were disappointing, and we're looking for reasons as to why, somebody to blame. And Kyrie's a great target because he sort of embedded himself and implanted himself earlier on this season when he said that, you know, start waiting for the playoffs, wait for the playoffs. And ultimately, he failed. The team failed, and he failed. And you can pinpoint each and every one of those post-game press conferences where he said, it's the regular season, it's meaningless, wait for the postseason. And now, guys like Wiggy, there's no accountability there. That's what really bothers me, and that's why this story continues to live for me, is because I'm waiting for Kyrie Irving to sort of take some level of accountability here and get up in front of a microphone or in front of a camera, which he's never going to do, and say, my bad, I screwed up, instead of saying, I'm just looking forward to watching the next series. That really irked me, and it continues to irk me to this day.
But he did pick you apart a little bit in your argument.
How so?
Because your first argument in terms of when you say he's not a top 10, top 15 player, you said, well, what about the postseason? And you listed off Westbrook and George.
Yep.
And those guys did the same thing in postseason. And by the way, Kyrie has a better track record in the postseason than either one of those guys. So the first thing that you defaulted to, then that wasn't the case, right? Right?
But then
you pivot to this bizarre, like, okay, the off the court affects the on the court.
But it does. It absolutely does.
But the first thing that you said was postseason. Your argument was based in Kyrie Irving is a regular season player. And then you're rating Paul George and Russell Westbrook ahead of Kyrie Irving.
Here's the thing. Neither one of those guys, Rob, have ever had a four-game stretch that was historically as bad as this is. Do you realize this was the first time in 50 years that a player has played this poorly in the postseason statistically? Sam Jones was the last guy to do it. 15 shots a night, shooting less than 40% from the field, scoring less than 15 points a game. Sam Jones, 50 years ago, 1966.
Okay, are you discounting?
Historically terrible.
Okay, that's one series, right? Are you discounting everything he did in Cleveland and the series against Indiana, which everyone was saying, oh my goodness, Kyrie Irving, the Celtics have figured it out.
Here's the thing. When you take everything into context with everything that he did with Cleveland, now you have to look at it a little bit differently, because we've got a body of work without LeBron James, right? So now you've got to sort of take what he did with LeBron and look at that through a different set of lenses. And I hate to give LeBron all the compliments I'm about to give him, but maybe LeBron really was the man there, even though Kyrie hit the biggest shot and gets the accolades for that.
Once again, to target those two guys that they mentioned, Westbrook and George, what have they done? Like, what has Westbrook done without Kevin Durant? It's the same argument, and even if you want to take this 1 year, which Kyrie Irving was really, really good in the regular season, yes. But also, he was really, really good in a playoff series. In the Indiana series, he was really, really good. He stunk in the Milwaukee series. Historically bad. But if you're going to use that argument, the first thing that you say when he's not a top 10 or 15 player, you can't immediately have it shot down like it was.
But no,
and it starts with me.
I don't think that's it right there. I think you have to take it all into consideration. The fact that he set himself up for this failure has to matter, Rob. It does.
But were you saying that after they beat Indiana?
I was saying that Gordon Hayward played a bigger role in that series. I wasn't here's the thing. I was not a Kyrie guy when he got here. I tried to learn to love him. But going back to February,
I know you hate him. That's why you have this bizarre argument. Like that's what this is.
You don't think that his player ranking took a hit this year? You don't think that if
I think that the same thing happens. I said this was going to happen, and this is how the postseason works. The last thing that you hear, or the last thing that you see, that's how it affects the perception of a player. So when the Indiana series ends,
sure,
everyone is saying whether you think Gordon Hayward was a bigger part of that series or not, which is fraudulent because he wasn't. Whether he was, you know, you're talking about Kyrie distributing the ball or actually scoring the ball. If you took that right after the Indiana series, everyone would say Kyrie Irving, no doubt about it, top 10 player, right?
No.
No.
All right, top 15 player.
Yeah, top 15, top 20.
Okay, but now you're saying top 30 because of one series, because of four games. And you're saying that all these things about, oh, well, he promised this and promised that. Well, at the end of the Indiana series, everyone was yelling, jumping up and down, saying, hey, you know what? He delivered on what he promised.
Here's the thing, okay, when it comes to Kyrie Irving, your level of faith that if he comes back here next year, that he's going to be able to carry this team further than he did this year, is it higher or lower than it was going into this season? What have you learned from watching Kyrie?
I learned that, listen, I am not a huge Kyrie guy. Get that out there right now, because I think that, and we can get into the whole leadership thing too, I see a lot of examples, a lot of parallels. Not exactly the same, but some, when Paul Pierce was named captain early on in his career,
sure,
and he was not ready to be captain. He was the best player, but he was not ready to be captain. I think that Kyrie Irving at 26 years old, the best player on the team, everyone wanted him to be a leader, and he said all the right things, and he saw it in the Jackie McMullen article, right? Where Terry Rozier and Jalen Brown saying, we had to learn how Kyrie led, and we had to adjust to him, and well, why? Like, if Brad Stevens, I read this the other day, we did a story on why Brad Stevens doesn't name captains, and he said, because I want everyone in there to have a voice. If that sure wasn't the message that Jalen Brown and Terry Rozier gave in that article, they were like, we have to defer to the guy we think is the leader in Kyrie Irving, and he wasn't ready to be the leader.
I had to call Bron.
So, to go back to your original question, I don't think as currently constituted with this group, you can say, oh, you know what, he's going to lead them to a championship. I think what they have to do, and I think, who was it said? It might have been Jeff Goodman, said, listen, when this group was put together, it was, think about it, Patrick, when this group was put together, that Gordon Hayward signed here with Isaiah Thomas, right?
Yep.
Okay. You had Jaylen Brown, you had Jason Tatum, you had a bunch of talent, but it wasn't necessarily the right mix of talent, as we found out. So knowing that you need, as flawed as Kyrie Irving is, knowing that you need the top tier, upper echelon type of talent, then you have to keep him in place and build around him. And that's going to get uncomfortable, because I want to see some of these other guys stick around. But that was the problem here. It was a mishmash of guys who were all fighting amongst themselves and worrying about playing time.
And by the way, nobody has bothered to ask me if I want Kyrie to stay.
Do you want Kyrie to stay?
I do, but I want him to stay for financial reasons, because let's say that he signs his max contract and stays here. The Celtics hold on to that asset. They hold on to that ability to spend that money. So if he builds his trade value back up and they say enough here at some point in the next 5 years, they can trade that asset and bring back another player worth about what he makes. If they let him walk for nothing, they're screwed right now financially.
Ask me July 1st.
Yeah, and by the way, I remember asking this. It was before the shoot around in New York when he said this, asked me July 1st,
yeah,
and backtracking. And I remember asking this, saying, isn't this bizarre that a guy in October, in early October, is saying, "Hey, you know what? Hey, everyone, I'm gonna re-sign here," and you know, knowing that so many things can change over the course of 8 months.
Yep.
But I think that you know this as well as I do. Everyone's like, "Oh, look it, Kyrie says he's coming back, so he must be coming back." And sure enough, it was in February in New York in that shoot around.
Yep.
February in New York, all of a sudden, that changes. And of course it's going to change. It's 8 months. All this stuff can happen. But everyone immediately jumped to, yes, look what he said in front of all these fans. He is coming back.
But it's not about the fans to me. Again, we talked about this quite a bit on Late Night back then. He did the thing in front of the fans at the Celtics green and white game. That's fine. But the night before, he had dinner at his house with his teammates and coaching staff, and he told them.
Until he broke the news. Signs, until he puts pen to paper, it doesn't make a difference.
Well, it does to Danny Ainge if you're trying to build a team financially and structure a team financially
right.
around Kyrie.
I hope Danny Ainge knew better.
I hope he did too, but I'm not sure he did. You know, there's all this talk here about Anthony Davis and will he sign a contract extension and do you do the deal without the contract extension? And we know the history with Kevin Garnett and getting him to sign the extension. You know, I don't think it was beyond sort of beyond imagination for us to figure that maybe Danny Ainge had the conversation with Kyrie and he agreed to a contract extension. How come that sort of conversation works? Let's say Anthony Davis comes here in the offseason and we hear from Danny Ainge that, you know what, he's agreed to a contract extension, but he's not going to sign it until next year so he can max out his money earning potential here. Are we going to give Danny credit at that point for getting AD to sort of agree to the contract extension? Do you know what I mean? Because we will, absolutely. But you're not going to get pen to paper because of the way that things are structured.
Yeah, but also, yeah, I understand. You cannot get pen to paper. But to think that things can't change in that case, and they can have dinner at the house, and he can insinuate to Danny Ainge that he's coming back, and then get in front of the fans and say he's coming back. But it's particularly with the personality that you're talking about. I mean, this guy is all over the place. And we didn't know how all over the place, quite all over the place he was until we went through an entire year with him. But I think you know as well as I do, everyone, and maybe Danny Ainge included, said, "Oh, he's coming back. He's coming back." And that wasn't the case. And this is the thing that drives me nuts. It's that you have all these people. I keep coming back to the Jackie Mack article because it was so good and the quotes were so good. But going into the playoffs, we have this. And I think they had beaten maybe they had beaten Indiana a couple games or something by the time this article came out. But it was Rozier and Jaylen Brown and Kyrie Irving and everyone in that article saying, "We figured it out. We figured it out. Well, you know what? We went through some tough times, but we figured it out." And by the way, meanwhile, you have Isaiah Thomas, the old Isaiah Thomas, the OG Isaiah Thomas, saying, "When they lose a game, they're going to fall apart." And that's exactly what happened.
Yep.
And nobody wanted to believe that. Everyone wanted to believe these guys said, "We figured it out. We figured it out." And then they showed their true colors. After when Terry Rozier does the ESPN car wash, and you know, and to your point, we still are waiting for Kyrie Irving to step up and say, "You know what? I wasn't good enough, and I want to be good enough."
Here's everything that you just said to me in the last 3 minutes, Rob. All makes sense, but I keep coming back to one word, and that's accountability. There is no accountability with Kyrie Irving, so it makes me second guess the Celtics' decision making process here if they are going to try and extend him for the next 5 years. Whether it's accountability to the fans or to his teammates or to Danny Ainge about coming back here, or accountability to the fans and his teammates about waiting for the playoffs and this great playoff sort of potential that he's going to have, and he's going to carry this team to the finals. Instead of holding him accountable for everything that he said he's going to do and then failed to do, we're sitting here making excuses for Kyrie Irving.
Who is?
We are. You are part of the problem.
No, I'm not making excuses. What are you talking about? Name one excuse that I made for Kyrie Irving.
You're over here telling me that it's no big deal that he told his teammates that he was going to come back.
No, I didn't.
No big deal that he said wait for the playoffs.
First of all, you're blowing it off. I said it's no big deal.
You're blowing off the importance of all of this stuff.
What are you talking about? I never said. You said, "Tell me again what you think I said."
I think that it doesn't really matter to you that he said he was going to stick around, or it doesn't matter to you that he said.
I was the one who said, who actually questioned back in December to your face on a show, saying, "What are we doing? Shouldn't we look at this a little bit closer that this guy said he's coming back?" And we have no pen to paper, and a lot of things can change, and they did change.
But you're like Wiggy. You make excuses for this guy.
Okay, give me the next excuse that I made.
His inability to come through in the playoffs doesn't seem to... Hold on, that doesn't seem to matter to you or Wiggy, Rob, and that, to me, the basketball is the most important part of this conversation.
Okay, you don't want to take the track record in Cleveland, that's fine, because he played with LeBron James. Once again, after the Indiana series, nobody was saying that. In fact, everyone was praising putting Kyrie Irving on their shoulders, saying, he's awesome, he's awesome, look at what he's doing in the playoffs. He figured it out, he's making his team better. And you keep pointing to this, rightfully so, this Milwaukee series as the thing that defines the guy. And yeah, it defined him for that series, but what happened to the other series? I'm not making excuses for him, because he isn't the guy who is going to, you say, him alone is going to lead a team to the championship.
I never said that, but 50% of his Celtic track record of the postseason is god-awful.
Oh my God.
Is abysmal. His track record is god-awful.
Actually, he played 5 good games and 4 bad ones, so he wins.
Okay,
I mean, he wins. I'm not making an excuse for Kyrie Irving. I mean, the fact is it's bizarre to me that we'll go back to the original point when you said, when you're talking about like how you wouldn't put Kyrie Irving in the top 15 players, and Wiggy asked you why, and you said because it's not about regular season, it's about postseason, and we're surfacing it. Not only do we have the Cleveland era, but we have 5 out of 9 games which he actually played well.
Let's talk about the Cleveland era in the postseason before LeBron James came back. How'd that work out for Kyrie?
It wasn't good. You know why? Because you asked the question, if Kyrie Irving goes to New York, can he do it on his own? And the answer is no. Same thing with what Russell Westbrook. Same thing with Paul George. Same thing with Kemba Walker.
Those guys would all elevate their teams more than Kyrie would.
Doubtful. I mean,
maybe not Kemba. The other two would.
This is how the NBA works, Patrick. You know that.
I know how the NBA works. We'll get to more of this coming up in a little while. Because the leadership part of this is what I want to talk to you about. Because the Celtics, they've got major financial decisions to make here. They've committed a ton of money to Gordon Hayward. You've got Al Horford at this point. Maybe he's going to opt in. That's 2 max guys. You've got to be very careful with that last max slot. You better make sure you give it to the right guy. So we'll get to more of that coming up in a little while. It is Sports Radio.
More Bruins talk.
WEEI. My name is Patrick Gilroy. His name is Rob Bradford. We are sitting here filling in for Dale and Keith today, right here on Sports Radio WEEI.
Now, back to the best.
You don't just wake up one day and become the best.
And confident.
You need to be confident in yourself, Dale. That's what you would have to be.
It's Dale and Keith on Boston Sports Station WEEI.
It is Sports Radio WEEI. It's Patrick Gilroy, Rob Bradford, sitting in here for Dale and Keith on this absolutely beautiful, beautiful,
think
beautiful.
Dale slept last night?
Memorial Day weekend. Probably not.
No.
Probably not. I mean, I know what that excitement is like before game one of the NBA Finals, and it's I didn't sleep.
Are you going to sleep between before the Toronto Golden State game? Or, no?
There'll be some sleep. Yeah, there'll be some sleep. Now, I mean, I like watching this stuff. I love the NBA. I love basketball in general. I love it so much that I watch that Big 3 summer tournament that they do. Like, I love it all. I'll watch the WNBA, but I don't lose sleep over the other teams like I do the Celtics.
Oh, I know that. I mean, come on, I know that. I know. I think that that's why this Kyrie thing hits home to you. And I think, honestly, this is what I said before the playoffs. I wrote a column saying, how are we going to be – this is right in the middle of the Indiana series. How is Kyrie Irving going to be viewed on May 30th? Because that's when the NBA Finals are slated to start. And at that time, people were like, oh, are you kidding me? He's going to be viewed awesome. Honestly, this is how the postseason works. This is how it works. And if Zdeno Chara goes out, or no, better example, Tuukka Rask.
Yep.
Right? If Tuukka Rask goes out there and lays an egg in this finals, are we going to remember anything? Like it or not, the narrative about Tuukka Rask in the postseason is going to be resurfaced again. And of course that's dumb, because he's the guy that got you to this point.
He's been great so far.
I know, but you know as well as I do, this is how the postseason works. It is the last impression that we're left with. More time that, and you know what? A lot of times, it costs guys money. It costs guys money, or it makes guys money.
Here's the thing, Robin. You've been doing this for a very long time, as have I, covering all these teams. Have you ever been in a position where one of the 4 major teams here has got, let's call him a top 20 player and split the difference, a top 20 player, and the fan base doesn't overwhelmingly want to bring him back? Because if we opened it up to the calls today and we said, okay, let's do an unofficial poll, who wants Kyrie back? I'm telling you right now, more fans don't want him back than want him back. Has that ever happened?
Yeah, yes. But here's the problem. is that if you did that poll after game one of the Milwaukee series, the poll it would be 80% to 20% I want to bring him back.
I don't agree with that at all. Well, I don't, because it goes beyond the basketball. I don't think so. I mean, I took the calls all season long on late night, and people were exhausted by his antics by the end of the regular season.
But you know what they had? You know what those people who like Kyrie Irving have in their back pocket, or the people I'm talking about, the 80% had in the back pocket, was exactly what you said before. The Kyrie Irving said, it's all about the postseason. It's all about the postseason. And through the first five games of the postseason, you're sitting there, and everyone said this, you're right, Kyrie. Kyrie was right. And the Jackie Mack article, oh, look at Terry Rozier and Jaylen Brown, what they're saying it. They had problems before. Now they have it all figured out. And it's not only Kyrie, it's Rozier too. I mean, everyone was, I don't want to say disingenuous, but let's just say young. Because this is, say, young and misguided.
Okay, but this Celtics team, clearly, whether you want to put it on the players, put it on the coaching staff, clearly there was a deficit when it came to leadership in general this year. There wasn't one overwhelming voice in that locker room that could get everybody's attention, that everybody would listen to, shut up, and pay attention to. And they needed that guy. You know who knew they needed that guy? Was Kyrie. Back in November, he said, we need a 14, 15-year veteran in this locker room.
Yes, and he was right.
He was right. He diagnosed the problem before we even saw it as fans. But what is this team going to do if they bring back the same coaching staff, they bring back the same players, bring back Kyrie Irving?
But they won't. I mean, I don't think that Danny Ainge would do that. Do I think he'll bring back Kyrie Irving? Yeah. Do I think they'll make a run at Anthony Davis? Yeah. But I think that he sees that this group, that you need the talent, right? You would agree with that. You need something.
You need something.
Right. We can't just roll out what we had last year, because the path, as you said, the path was a lot easier. You hit the sweet spot with a lot of these guys. I don't know how you feel about Jason Tatum. I think he's a very good player, but is he the guy that you're going to, you know, build around right now? I don't know. You need the talent, so I would hope that he would say, hey, Kyrie's our best option because of the contract, because of the money. Now we have to figure out a way to complement him around.
But coaching and leadership matters so much. When you look at a Claude Julien-led Bruins team versus what you have now in Cassidy with a lot of the same players, they're playing a completely different brand of hockey. It looks like two completely different teams if you watch video from a couple of years ago and watch it now with the same names on the back of the jerseys. Clearly, Cassidy right now has got the ear of his players, and they're willing to do whatever he needs them to do. What worried me about this year with the Celtics and the whole Kyrie effect is that Brad Stevens was this boy genius here the last 5 years, really each and every year getting incrementally better than the year before. He was probably the second best or hottest coaching commodity in the NBA behind Popovich, if you were a free agent, so to speak, going into this season. And now he has taken a hit here because his inability to lead superstar players is now a thing.
Right. And I think that I'm going to give you a quote here from my guy, Mateo, who wrote this for us. And he was, it was about captains. Because, you know, like Brad Stevens doesn't name captains.
Yep.
He doesn't, have you heard me read this quote before?
No, I haven't.
Okay. All right. So this is from Mateo's story on WEI.com. This is back in February. I spent a lot of time, this is about not naming captains. I think the last captain he had was Rondo. I spent a lot of time studying this at Butler. I'd say out of the 12 years that I've been a head coach, we've rarely had captains. And the reason being is that you want to empower everyone to add leadership within their own authentic way. We want players like Horford and Baines, who are the most experienced, to be vocal and active within their personality. We want the best player in Kyrie to be vocal and do it within his personality. We want our other players that aren't as accomplished and maybe aren't playing as much, like Robert Williams, to feel it's okay to have ownership and say within his personality what he thinks too. Okay. So I applaud Brad Stevens for doing the research and having a philosophy. But to your point, this goes with adjusting with what you have. In a vacuum, all right, that's great. That philosophy might work, and it might have worked the year before. But the problem is, if you give everyone in there the same sort of voice, you give Terry Rozier the voice, Jaylen Brown the voice, all these guys, you don't want them to have the same voice. You want the Chara, you want the Ortiz, you want the Brady, you want the alpha guy that everything runs through, and that was never going to be Kyrie Irving.
Kyrie Irving, though, he will never be that guy because he's a guy who he doesn't want to be held accountable himself.
He might be in 4 years.
I don't think so. I mean, he is who he is at this point. He's been in the league for, what, 7, 8 years now. He came in at 19 years old. This is what he is.
Yeah,
he's not going to change. And this is what worries me, by the way, about the whole Anthony Davis thing. Does Anthony Davis strike you as a vocal, overwhelming leader?
No.
So that's my...
That is a problem because the problem is with leadership, and we'll get into this, but usually it's the best player or one of the best players and an older player, right? So Kyrie, I guess you could say, is somewhat older on that team, but he's not ready to be a leader. I think in 4 years, and I'll go back to the Pierce example, I didn't think that Pierce was. And I don't know, and maybe you know this better than I do. I don't know if Pierce ever became the guy.
His image changed, but he didn't change. Meaning, you know, when Kevin Garnett got here, it was clear that he was the guy that grounded that team. He was the guy that held everybody accountable.
Right. Everything was passed through one guy.
Through KG. Everything. He owned that locker room, and everybody knew it.
And so who was that guy? I think the problem here, Patrick, is that you read those quotes from these players, and they kind of wanted or thought that Kyrie was that guy. At least Kyrie wanted them to think that everything had to be passed through him. And he's not equipped to be that guy. He's not equipped to be the leader, the guy who stands on the stool in the middle of the locker room and does the Rudy thing. Because he's not ready to be that guy.
Okay, but you just brought up Char, right? And Char is how old? What, 43?
Yeah.
And there's been how many discussions here on EEI alone in the last month about, you know, should he be a healthy scratch at this point in his career? Like, all this stuff about...
Well, basically every time Wiggy was on.
Exactly,
yes.
And Wiggy's been on quite a bit lately, so we've heard that quite a bit. You know, and here's the thing. You just said to be a leader, you've got to be one of the best players on the team, or people think you do. Chara used to be, but at this stage in his career... Does he still have that same
impact?
I don't think, it
depends. I don't think you have to be. I think that to be a leader, to be one of the leaders, you don't have to be. And I use baseball as the example of this, where baseball clubhouse has 5, 6 leaders. And, you know, when Alex Cora played, he was a leader, and he didn't have to worry about if he was going to hit 300. If he was hitting 200, he could still lead because everyone understood this is your role. Now, Jason Varitek, he was a leader in his way. Even though he had a C on his chest, he had to lead in a different way because he didn't have the personality to lead in the way that a lot of people wanted. David Ortiz, he was one of the best players. You know, so you can have teams where you have multiple leaders if you don't have the one guy. But it really helps. I do think it helps if you have a guy perceived as one of the best players, and Chara is still perceived as one of the best players,
yep.
Right? And been around for a long time. Char, obviously, that way. Brady, that way, too. I mean, I think Patriots, perfect example. Patriots have a bunch of leaders, but everything probably is siphoned through Tom Brady.
Absolutely.
Right? All right? And so, because he's one of the best players, and he's old. And the Celtics were the one team. And, you know, the Red Sox, I think, they have this collection of leaders, like a lot of baseball clubhouses do, because you have different positions coming from different places, speaking different languages. The Celtics had this weird group where I think that they, once again, they wanted to find a leader. They wanted to find, even if it was two or three, because you say Garnett, Pierce,
yep.
And
Rondo, Allen, they were all, plus they brought in Sam Cassell, James Posey. There was leadership on that team.
Exactly. So you know who would have been a perfect fit with that? Was Marcus Morris, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Marcus Morris, but I don't think any of these guys were saying, hey, you know what, we have to siphon everything through Marcus Morris. You know, I don't think it was that way at all.
So here's the fundamental problem that Danny Ainge has got this offseason, because if you're now the Celtics and you're looking to your neighbors next door in the Bruins, you know, they're now, whether they win or lose here, they're in the Cup Finals. The expectation here in this city has been championship or bust. The Celtics were on that trajectory for the last few years, and now everybody's jumped off the hype train here. And now you've got huge fundamental decisions to make. And if you do bring back Kyrie Irving, you've got to offset his inability to lead by bringing in somebody else that's capable of being that guy that holds people accountable. And whether he's a member of the coaching staff, whether he's a player, there is clearly something amiss with this Celtics team, and they could learn a little something from their neighbors in the building, don't you think?
Oh, yeah, but don't you heard the quotes from Brad Stevens about the captain. I think that was a pretty good microcosm of what we're talking about. What you're talking about is that Brad Stevens, when we talk about head coaches, we're talking about right guys at right times. Like we talked about this yesterday. John Farrell in 2013, you can not like him as a manager, but he was a right guy at the right time. Alex Cora last year, right guy at the right time, maybe 3 or 4 years ago, maybe not.
Yeah.
Bruce Cassidy this year, right guy at the right time. I don't think Claude Julien was a terrible coach, but he wouldn't have he probably fit this group as well as Bruce Cassidy.
I mean, look
did.
At Nick Nurse in Toronto right now.
Exactly. Right guy to get massaged by Drake at the right time. How about that, by the way, as a quick diversion? Drake with the tattoos of Durant and Curry. You see that?
I did. I mean, look, Drake is what he is. You know, he is what he is.
You're not a big Drake guy.
I'm not a big Drake guy at all. And you know, but I sort of do like this whole thing in the NBA where the fans have this sort of impact. I liked it in L.A. I like it in New York. I don't think the Wahlbergs here in Boston have that kind of impact. But I do like the whole super fan thing around the NBA.
Can you imagine the Wahlbergs going up and massaging Brad Stevens in the middle of the game?
No, that's a little bit different. Drake feels like he's a part of that team. He feels like he's, you know, the 15th
man on the roster.
He was weeping.
He was 10 feet from the ceremony, and he's weeping. I'm glad that he's happy. I'm glad that he's passionate about something. It is bizarre, and this goes back to sort of the Bruins and the St. Louis stuff. You know, you have all these St. Louis, like, celebrity, I'm holding up the air quotes, celebrity fans. Yeah. Like, yeah, really? Like, either you are or you aren't. Well, I'll give Drake this. I mean, he legitimately is.
I mean, aren't Jim and Pam somehow involved in this whole thing, too? That went over my head when I was in Chicago for the week, but I did read something about Jim and Pam going at it.
All of a sudden, all these St. Louis fan, you know, pseudo-celebrity fans are coming out. Like, John Hamm, who I respect greatly, as I said before, having just cruised through the 7 episodes of Mad Men and realized that this guy played this character of just pure debauchery and cigarette smoking and drinking for 7 straight years and come out on the other side a semi-normal human being. Listen, that is my guy right there. But I don't think that he's going to start talking trash like that kid would, you know, in the Bruins outside the Hall of Fame. You know, like, I want somebody like that. I want a celebrity to speak like this kid did, right? Right, that kid who said the Bruins suck.
Bruins suck.
I want that to be a celebrity.
So is this series missing some sort of juice?
Yes.
Okay, and is that because it's hockey or is it because of the two teams that are in this? You know what I mean?
It's because it's hockey.
Right, so we're sitting here talking about a super fan that might change the situation here, but I don't know if
it's... But you were around for the Vancouver.
I was, and there was more to it there.
You had your fledgling lollipop sales business before you took off in your radio career.
Yep.
Where were you in 2011?
I was.
Were you doing radio then?
I've been doing radio for 19
years.
No,
I know. I didn't know if there was a hiatus.
I was at ESPN New Hampshire.
Okay, that's right.
So, Rob, I learned somebody that's very important in radio told me one thing that stuck with me through all these years. That radio is the only business where if you step away for 6 months or for a year, it's near impossible to get back into.
I can name another one. Sports writing.
So I'm terrified. And I've thought about taking time off, taking time away. But his voice always rings in the back of my head.
It's true. I mean, it's true. I think that with anything in this business, I think it's true. So good for you for powering through. But when you were doing those shows in ESPN New Hampshire on 2011 year, Terry Rozier in his contract year, Jaylen Brown seeing his playing time diminish, the Gordon Hayward dynamic, which, by the way, was awkward for Brad Stevens because of his history with Gordon Hayward, all of it. I don't know if Brad Stevens got a paycheck from the NBA for playing, if that would have mattered.
Okay, so we started this hour talking about, at least I talking about, accountability here and your unwillingness to hold Kyrie Irving accountable. And here we are, an hour into the program, Rob, and I still don't feel like you want to hold anybody with the Celtics accountable for the failures of this season.
No, I don't. I don't want to hold anyone accountable. We shouldn't hold anyone accountable. Of course! I'm holding everybody accountable.
So, but who is the guy that really needs to take the blame? Because I'll tell you what, there'll be no talk about, you know, firing Brad Stevens. There'll be no talk about firing Danny Ainge. Everybody, I guess, wants Kyrie Irving back. It's like, at the end of the day, you want to bring the band back together, where look what happened in Toronto. Guy wins Coach of the Year, and then he gets fired because of playoff failures. In the NBA, if you take a step back the way the Celtics did this year, your name is at least brought about in the same conversation as being fired if you're a head coach or a general manager. And here with the Celtics, it feels like Danny Ainge and Brad, they've got jobs for life. There's zero accountability with this ownership when it comes to these guys. And I feel like, you know, with the Bruins, they weren't afraid to make wholesale changes. And those wholesale changes wound up working out to their benefit. The Celtics were supposed to be in the finals. Las Vegas is very rarely wrong. Mm-hmm. Everything that this team was supposed to be, they never became. somebody has to take the blame for that.
Right. And as I said throughout the Indiana series and throughout the Milwaukee series, I put Kyrie Irving at the top of the list. And he remains at the top of the list. That doesn't mean that he's not a top 15 player. That doesn't mean that that's not the best option to bring him back. But in terms of the failure of this team, I put him at the top of the list because where he's at in his career, how he plays the game, this fraudulent leadership, all of it. But that's he's at the top of the list. And if you want to put number two, I don't put Brad Stevens number two. I think he deserves some blame. But in the NBA, Patrick, this you know as well as I do, is probably the most difficult thing to manage for a coach, whether you play the game or not. And if you want to put a number two, the guy who we praise up and down for everything he used to do or did, Danny Ainge. Because Danny Ainge is the one we thought put together all this talent, but it wasn't the right collection. And I think Danny Ainge is an excellent GM. But in this case, if you're putting blame pie, he did not put the right collection of guys together. And maybe that's even getting rid of Terry Rozier when his value is a little higher because you know you have it in your head that he's going to be okay. He's not going to worry about his contract, which is exactly what he was worrying about all year.
Jaylen Brown was, look at, they wanted Jaylen Brown in San Antonio. Okay, you could have had Kawhi Leonard for Jaylen Brown. Danny Ainge has been guilty of overvaluing his young players forever. And you look back at that missed opportunity and what's happening in Toronto right now, and you think of how things may have been different here in Boston. And even if it's just a one-year rental, you know, if you could have traded Jaylen Brown to get this Kawhi for 1 year.
But you don't think that would have happened, do you?
What do you mean?
You don't think they could have traded that Jaylen Brown? I mean, that was a Jason Tatum.
Tatum's name was not even in that conversation.
I know, but it never got done. Do you think that they were said, okay, we'll trade for Jaylen Brown in one of these crappy draft picks?
You got the possibility here of one of these crappy draft picks being what number two unprotected the year after that.
Those draft picks, the value, and I understand a year ago the value was perceived as a lot greater, but because of how it can end up, Jaylen Brown in a draft pick or draft picks, we're not going to get Kawhi Leonard.
Maybe Danny Ainge needs to graduate and become and stay president of basketball operations, and the Celtics need to bring in a new general manager, because I can name a half a dozen times here in the last few years where Danny Ainge pressed the wrong button. He's been brilliant when it comes to talent acquisition through trades, but everything else, he's a little bit shaky on. It is Sports Radio, WEI, 1 hour down, 3 hours to go. It's Rob Bradford. It's Patrick Gilroy sitting in for Dale and Keith. When we come back, we'll continue with this conversation, start to work in some more Bruins thoughts, some Red Sox stuff, and, yeah, Benjamin Watson, all the excitement about him coming out of retirement and coming back. I guess we'll have to wait, at least 4 weeks into the season to start to see the reemergence of Benjamin Watson 2.0 here in New England.
Oh, what are we going to do?
Unbelievable. It is Sports Radio, WEI.
Vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.